After supper, the men turned in, most of them eager to get some sleep since they had to be riding again early the next morning. Skinner was adamant about not sharing a room with anyone, so Alfred gave him one of the extra rooms to himself and set up a cot in a storage room for Lancaster, who volunteered for the less luxurious accommodations.
Even so, it's much better than our quarters were in Peshawar, you know.
Davidson stayed in the dining room to talk to Alfred after the others had left. Beau motioned Scratch to go on and lingered in the hallway, just out of sight, where he could hear what they were saying. He didn't like sneaking around and eavesdropping on folks, but Beau had a hunch that he needed to find out as much as he could about what was going on around here.
Send Rosa Linda to my room as soon as she's through cleaning up in here.
Yes, sir.
The men will need a good breakfast in the morning, since they'll be riding all day. You'll see to that, and preparing supplies for them to take with them?
Of course, sir.
And let Gomez know that we'll need girls here for them when they get back 4 nights from now.
Yes, sir. Any, particular preferences that you know of?
No, I haven't really explored that with the new men yet. I'm sure they'll be satisfied with whatever Gomez can provide. If any of them want anything, special, we can deal with that later.
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Good night, Alfred.
Good night, sir.
Beau ventured a glance around the corner and saw that Rosalinda had reappeared from the kitchen and was cleaning off the table with Alfred's help.
Senor Davidson wants you to come to his room when you're through here, Rosalinda.
Alfred, no. Not again, por favor.
I'm afraid you have no choice. Neither of us do.
See, Alfred, I will do as I am told.
Beau waited where he was, just out of sight of those in the dining room, until Rosalinda was gone and Alfred was moving around the room blowing out the lamps. Then he stepped around the corner.
Mr. Creel, I didn't know you were still up. Can I do something for you, sir?
No, I don't need anything, son. What do you need?
I don't understand, sir.
Are you happy here, doing the things you have to do?
I'm sure I don't know what you mean, sir. My job is quite satisfactory.
All right, if you say so. Good night, Alfred. See you in the morning.
Good night, Mr. Creel.
Beau went to the room that had been assigned to him and Scratch and found the silver-haired Texan peering out the window at the night.
Where you been?
Oh, skulking around the dining room, eavesdropping on Davidson and Alfred.
I knew you had some kind of burr under your saddle. Things ain't right around here. And if I can tell that, well, you sure as hell can.
No, they're not. Davidson told Alfred to send that Rosalinda girl to his room after she got finished cleaning up after supper. Alfred didn't like it either.
Yeah, he's sweet on that gal his own self.
That's what it looks like to me. He won't stand up to Davidson about it, though.
Well, Davidson's his boss, just like he's our boss now. You know, it don't bother me none to let you do the thinking for us, Bo, but I ain't sure I want to work for that hombre after all. I mean, I'm starting to think it's him the Mexicans are so scared of, not any bandidos.
The same thought occurred to me. But I'd like to find out exactly what's going on around here. And I figure the best way to do it is if we're working for Davidson.
Well, we got to turn around and go right back to El Paso.
Yes, but we'll be coming back here, and after that, I expect it'll be a while before another ore shipment is ready. That'll give us some time to poke around.
Where we maybe ain't wanted, huh?
Well, if we never stuck our noses in where they're not wanted, we'd never find out anything interesting, now would we?
No, I reckon not. You know, Davidson ought to be ashamed of himself messing around with a gal as young as Rosalinda. Oh, Alfred's a lot closer to her age, and he seems like a nice young fellow to boot. Maybe before we leave Cutthroat Canyon for good, we can do something about that.
Yeah, just a couple of frontier cupids, that's us.
Hey, now you speak for yourself, old timer. I ain't ready to start wearing no diaper again, and I sure as shooting don't carry no bow and arrow. Say, you reckon old Cupid really was a Comanche?
Beau didn't have any idea how to answer that question, so he just went to bed instead. The men were up before dawn the next morning, getting ready to ride. As Beau led his saddle dun out of the barn into the corral, he saw three wagons lined up in front of the headquarters building, each with a 6-mule team hitched to it. Men in sombreros and sandals and rough peasant garb were carrying crates out of the big log building and placing them in the wagons. There must be a strong room somewhere inside there that he hadn't seen yet, Beau thought, where Davidson stored the ore under lock and key until he could ship it out. Leaving the horses in the corral, Beau and Scratch went to the headquarters building for breakfast. Skinner, Jackman, and Trag were already at the table, eating enthusiastically. Jackman and Trag gave friendly nods to Bo and Scratch as the Texans entered the dining room. Skinner didn't glance up or acknowledge their presence. Bo and Scratch sat down, poured cups of coffee, and started filling their plates.
Ain't seen that Rosalinda gal around this morning.
I reckon Mr. Davidson plumb wore her out last night, more than likely.
Alfred was coming in the door from the kitchen as Jackman made his crude comment. He had another pot of coffee in his hand, and for a second, Bo thought he was going to haul off and smash the pot down on Jackman's head. Alfred controlled his emotions with a visible effort and placed the coffee pot on the table.
Good morning, gentlemen. You slept well, I trust.
Yeah, just fine. Where's boss man this morning?
I haven't seen Mr. Davidson yet. I assume that he's still asleep. Mr. Wallace is supervising the loading of the ore onto the wagons. He'll be driving the lead wagon as well.
Wallace knows where to take the ore when we get to El Paso?
Yes, sir. He's Mr. Davidson's second in command and is familiar with all the phases of the operation.
Douglas, Hanson, and Lancaster came in from saddling their horses and joined the others at the table.
Well, the wagons are loaded up and ready to row.
Davidson tell you that I'm in charge?
He said that you were in charge of the guard detail. I'm still responsible for those wagons and that ore, though.
Just don't go giving me orders. I don't take kindly to it.
Just let me know when you're ready to ride.
I'm ready now. Let's go.
There were two men on each wagon, armed with both rifles and shotguns. In addition, four heavily armed outriders would accompany the wagons, one at each point of the compass. Those defenders would be enough to discourage small groups of would-be thieves. And if a larger bunch tried to grab the gold, the men Davidson had hired in El Paso would rush in to put a stop to the robbery. Bo and Scratch went to the corral with the other men and led their horses out. Alfred emerged from the house with four sets of fully loaded saddlebags. He handed out the supplies and then stepped back.
Good luck, gentlemen. If all goes as planned, you'll be back here on the evening of the fourth day from now. I'll see you then.
So long, Alfred.
Goodbye, Mr. Morton.
Bo lifted a hand in farewell as he heeled the dun into motion. Wallace, on the driver's seat of the lead wagon, gripped the reins tightly and had already started slapping them against the backs of the mule team.
Come on! Get up! Get up!
The mules finally leaned forward in their harness. The wagon lurched ahead, and the other teams followed. Skinner, Lancaster, Jackman, and Trag headed up the canyon ahead of the wagons. There was no point in spreading out until they were all out of the valley. The bandits weren't going to try anything this close to the mine. Bo, Scratch, Hanson, and Douglas followed the wagons, keeping their mounts at an easy walk to allow the vehicles to pull ahead.
You want the right side or the left?
Doesn't matter to us. Scratch and I are to the left now, so I guess we can stay that way.
Well, that's as good a way to choose as any. You think the bandits will hit us this trip?
There's no way of knowing. I won't be surprised either way.
As the wagons followed the road that cut through the fields, Bo saw several men working with hoes or following teams of oxen pulling plows. At least the valley didn't appear as eerily deserted today as it had the day before. Bo saw the furtive glances that the workers cast toward the wagons and the riders, too. And as they neared the village, he looked up at the bell tower in the church and spotted movement there.
Fella in the tower.
I see him. Hombre could cover a mighty big field of fire from up there. You reckon he works for Davidson?
I can't think of any other good reason for him to be up there, can you?
What are you gents talking about?
There's a rifleman in the bell tower of that church. That reflection we spotted from up there yesterday evening came from a rifle barrel, not the bell.
He's probably just a lookout. A man can see a long way from up there. He'd probably see that gang of bandits if they rode into the valley.
Mm-hmm. Fella with good eyes and a high-powered rifle like, say, a Sharp's Big 50 could hit just about anybody in this valley. A few years ago, down in the Texas Panhandle, a fellow named Billy Dixon shot an Injun's horse right out from under him at a range of damn near a mile with his Sharps.
A pair of field glasses would let a man see everything that was going on around here. Sort of like the eyes of God looking down from heaven.
Yeah, with a rifle instead of a lightning bolt.
You fellas are loco. You're making it sound like Davidson rules this valley through fear. He gets along with these Mexes. Even buys fruits and vegetables and other supplies from them.
That's what he claims.
Well, I tend to take the word of the man who's paying my wages, at least until I got proof that he's not telling me the truth.
That's reasonable. And maybe the fella in the bell tower really is just the lookout, like Douglas suggested. But I can't help being curious.
Curiosity's sometimes a dangerous thing. That's why I tend to keep any doubts I have to myself.
What do you think, kid?
I think I'm here to do a job. That's all I care about.
Fair enough. Let's let it go with that.
A few people were moving around in the village, but they all retreated indoors when they saw the wagons and the riders coming. Hansen seemed to notice that. When Bo looked over at the man, he saw a puzzled frown creasing Hansen's forehead. Hansen thumbed his hat back and tilted his head so that he could look up at the bell tower as they passed the church. They left the village behind, and a short time later, they reached the pass leading out of the valley. By mid-morning, they were through the foothills and out on the flats, heading north toward El Paso. From their trip down here, Bo and Scratch knew that for the most part the terrain was open, with only a slight roll to it, not really good country for an ambush. But there were ridges and knolls here and there that could conceal bandidos, not to mention arroyos of the sort that the bandits had used to sneak up on the camp two nights earlier. Appearances were deceptive. There were a lot more places to hide along their route than it looked like at first glance.
Well, reckon we'd better split up. The rest of the fellas are out of sight already.
That was true. Skinner and Lancaster had vanished to the northwest, while Jackman and Tragg headed northeast. They would parallel the course of the wagons, staying far enough away so that maybe bandits wouldn't notice them. Bo and Scratch reined their horses to the left. Hansen and Douglas went right. They wouldn't separate as much as the others had, and would stay within sight of each other, several hundred yards apart.
I got to thinking. Seems to me almost like Davidson's trying to tempt those banditas into coming after the gold again.
Like maybe he's setting a trap for them, wants us to wipe them out?
Yeah, exactly like that.
Could be. After the things we've seen, I wouldn't put it past him.
That young fella Davidson killed a couple of nights ago, he didn't look much like a bandit to me. He wasn't much more than a kid.
You could say the same thing about Douglas, and I wouldn't want to tangle with him.
Yeah, well, I reckon that's true enough. And the hombre did try to ventilate me and was about to take a knife to Davidson. I ain't saying he was some sort of babe in the woods. He just didn't strike me as a hardened desperado, neither.
No, not at all. I wish we could have asked him some questions.
Yeah, well, Davidson saw to it that we couldn't.
Yeah, he sure did.
It was another long, hot day in the saddle. The third such in a row for the Texans, but at least it passed peacefully, with no sign of trouble. As night fell, they made a cold camp and ate a supper of biscuits and jerky washed down with water from their canteens. Scratch peered wistfully into the distance at the glow of the fire where the men with the wagons had made camp.
Oh, those fellas got hot coffee tonight.
You can have some coffee when we get to El Paso.
With, maybe a little dollop of brandy in it?
I don't see why not.
Okay, I'll just think about that for a while.
You do that.
The night passed as quietly as the day had, and everybody was on the move again at first light the next morning. Bo slipped a pair of field glasses from his saddlebags and used them to check on the wagons. Everything appeared to be fine as the vehicles rolled along northward. In late morning, they came to a range of small hills and mesas.
If them bandits plan on hitting the wagons between here and El Paso, this would be about the best place.
I was just thinking the same.
Bo and Scratch didn't hesitate. They heeled their horses into a run and headed for the wagons. Off to the right, Hansen and the kid did the same thing. The wagons must have rolled into a full-scale ambush. A moment later, they came in sight of the vehicles, which had halted a couple of hundred yards from a shallow mesa. Puffs of gun smoke came from the top of that mesa, telling Bo that some of the bandits had waited up there for the ore wagons to come along. Then they had opened fire, killing the lead mules in each team to stop the wagons. Bo could see that the animals were down in their traces. The gunfire from the mesa had also driven the men on the stalled wagons to take cover. They had scrambled off the seats and were crouched behind the wagons as they returned the fire. The outriders had galloped in and taken cover behind the wagons too, because to stay out in the open would have made them easy targets. As if that weren't bad enough, bandits on horseback had entered the fray as well, circling the wagons like Comanches and taking pot shots at the defenders. Their horses' hooves kicked up enough dust that it was difficult to see exactly what was going on. Bo spotted riders converging on the mesa, though, and recognized them as Skinner, Lancaster, Jackman, and Tragg.
Going after the bandits on the mesa. We'll take the ones on horseback.
Scratch jerked his head in a nod and hauled his Winchester from its sheath, strapped to the bay's saddle. Bo did likewise with his rifle. Bo guided the horse with his knees as he worked the Winchester's lever and jacked around into the firing chamber. he lifted the rifle to his shoulder. As Bo and Scratch opened fire on the bandits circling the wagons, they didn't try to place their shots. They just sprayed lead toward the banditos as fast as they could. One of the bandits threw his arms in the air as a sombrero flew from his head. He landed hard, bounced once, and then lay still. His ball didn't go unnoticed. Several of the bandits wheeled their mounts to confront this new threat. Smoke geysered from the muzzles of their pistols. However, Bo, Scratch, Hanson, and Douglas were still out of effective handgun range. The bullets smacked into the ground and kicked up dust well ahead of their horses. The guards kept up a steady fire as they surged closer, and another bandit was hit, doubling over, and then sliding out of his saddle to sprawl on the ground. The bandits' nerve broke then. They whirled their horses and ran, pounding away toward the mesa where their compadres had lain in ambush. They didn't try to climb one of the paths up to the rugged butte, though. Instead, they circled it and tore off into the hills as fast as their horses would carry them. As Bo and Scratch slowed to a halt next to the wagons, Bo heard a fusillade of shots from the top of the mesa. Skinner and the others had made it up there and were battling against the rest of the gang.
Reckon we ought to go give them a hand?
Let's see how bad folks are hurt here first.
Bo saw Wallace leaning against the lead wagon. Bright red blood had splashed out on the man's shirt.
How bad is it, Wallace?
Bullet just ripped across my side. Hurts like hell, but it probably looks worse than it really is.
How about the rest of you boys? Anybody hurt bad?
Don't worry about us. Get up on that mesa and help Skinner wipe out them damn bandits.
I don't reckon that'll be necessary. Shooting stopped.
In all likelihood, Skinner, Lancaster, Jackman, and Tragg had been victorious. If the bandits had won the fight, they would be shooting at the wagons again by now.
Here they come.
Sure enough, while Bo was patching up the deep bullet graze in Wallace's side, he glanced up to see Skinner and the others riding slowly down the trail that led from the top of the mesa. When they reached the bottom, they came toward the wagons, and their deliberate pace and lack of urgency told Bo that there probably wasn't anybody left alive up there.
Get them all?
Yeah.
They're all dead?
That's right.
Good. That dirty bastard's had it coming.
All right, who else is hurt?
A couple of the other men had minor wounds. Bo tended to them while Scratch rode out to check on the two bandits who had been shot off their horses during the fight. One or both of them might still be alive. Bo could tell from the look on Scratch's face as he rode back to the wagons, though, that that wasn't the case. As Scratch came up and reined in, he shook his head.
Nope, they're done for. First fellow was drilled plumb through the head and must have died right away. The other hombre was gut shot. Took him longer to die, poor varmint.
Don't waste your sympathy on them, Morton. They're just bandits.
Yeah, I reckon that's right.
Bo could tell that something was bothering Scratch, though, and as soon as he got the chance, he pulled his trail partner aside.
What's the matter?
He was even younger than that fellow the other night, Bo. I don't figure either one of them was even 20 years old.
You're saying it was a bunch of kids who attacked these wagons?
I don't know about the rest, but those two sure were.
Now, I'm mighty curious about the bandit Skinner and the others killed up there.
So am I. Reckon we ought to ask him about them?
I think maybe we should.
They walked over to the other guards, who were getting ready to ride again, while some of Wallace's men unhooked the dead mules from their harness. Having only four mules pulling each wagon would slow down the pace, but there was nothing anyone could do about that.
Got a question for you, Skinner.
I don't answer to you too, Creel.
Scratch and I still want to know if you got a good look at those bandits up on the mesa.
Go to hell.
We checked the bodies to make sure they were all dead. They were. We didn't have to finish any of them off.
How old were they?
Why, I don't really know. I don't know about you, old boy, but I don't really make a habit of stopping to inquire a man's age when he's shooting at me.
Nobody would expect you to. But those two we shot were just kids. And we were wondering if that was true of the ones who were up on the mesa.
I'm afraid I didn't pay that much attention. You'd have to go take a look for yourself if you're that interested.
Well, maybe we'll just do that.
You do, and I'll tell Davidson that you were neglecting your job because you were worried about some damn greasers. What you think you'll do then?
It won't take long to check it out. How'd you manage to wipe all of them out so fast, anyway?
There's a trail up the backside of that mesa. They should have put a guard on it, the damn fools. We made it up there and were practically on top of them before they knew what was going on. And there were only three of them. It weren't much of a fight.
You got those damn mules unhitched. We need to get moving again. This is already going to slow us down.
Yeah,
and we're ready to roll.
All right, then. Let's get this gold to El Paso.
Skinner swung up into his saddle and motioned for the other men to do likewise. Bo and Scratch mounted up as well, but instead of falling in behind the wagons, they started riding slowly toward the mesa.
Damn it, stop wasting your time. Do what you're supposed to do, or you can forget about working for Davidson. I'll tell him it's either you two or me.
Do what you have to do, Skinner.
And so will we.
They heeled their horses into a trot, reached the main trail, and started up. By the time they made it to the top of the mesa, the wagons were lumbering past.
You think they'll get jumped again before they get to El Paso?
I don't know. It's doubtful. The bandits who got away know now that the wagons are well guarded. Anyway, we'll catch up in a little while. I don't care whether Skinner wants us along or not. We'll finish the trip.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I don't like to break my word, even if the fella I gave it to turns out to be a low-down skunk.
It took them only a moment to find the bodies sprawled behind some rocks at the edge of the mesa. The men wore rough clothes more suited for farming than for robbing gold wagons. Two had fallen on their sides when Skinner and the others cut them down. The third man lay on his back, staring sightlessly at the deep blue, cloudless sky.
Oh, son of a bitch, that hombre can't be more than 16 years old.
Lancaster must have known that, too. He just didn't want to admit that they slaughtered a bunch of kids.
Kids who were doing their best to kill the fellas on those wagons. That bullet crease in Wallace's side is proof of that.
Yeah, there's no denying that. A bullet can kill you just as dead, no matter how old the finger is that pulls the trigger.
Bo handed the Dunn's reins to Scratch and used a foot to roll the other two bodies onto their backs as well. Not surprisingly, those two bandits were very young too, not out of their teens.
Varmints hadn't even been shaven long.
Bo nodded and hunkered on his heels next to the bloody corpses. Each of them had numerous gunshot wounds. Skinner and the others had riddled them mercilessly with lead.
Tomov, damn you! I'll kill you! I'll kill you both!
Bo straightened up, but kept his hand well away from his gun. On the bay, Scratch kept his hands half-lifted as he used his knees to make the horse turn toward the newcomer. It was a young woman who stood there pointing a revolver at them. She was dressed like a man, in whipcord trousers and a faded shirt, with a flat-crowned hat that hung behind her back by its chin strap and a gun belt around her waist. The gun barrel wavered back and forth as her hand trembled.
Hold on, Senorita. My partner and I don't mean you any harm.
Liar! Filthy liar! I saw you shooting at my friends!
You mean you're part of this bunch of bandits?
That probably wasn't the best way to phrase the question, Bo thought, as the young woman jerked the barrel of the gun toward Scratch. But it did pull the gun away from him, and since it looked like she was about to shoot Scratch, Bo lunged forward, diving at her. She yanked the gun back toward Bo and jerked the trigger. She shot high, though, as most amateurs did when they hurried, and as Bo had already left his feet, the bullet whistled harmlessly over his head. Bo wrapped his arms around the young woman's hips as he crashed into her and bore her over backward. Bo grabbed her wrist and twisted it enough to make her drop the gun without actually injuring her. By that time, Scratch was off his horse and leaned down to snatch the weapon from the ground so that the young woman couldn't get her hands on it again. Well aware that he was lying on top of a gal young enough to be his granddaughter, Bo pushed himself to his hands and knees and stood up quickly.
I'm sorry I had to do that, Senorita. Couldn't let you shoot my part here, though. Or me, for that matter.
The young woman rolled onto her side, put her hands over her face, and began to sob. Bo and Scratch looked at each other, and Scratch shrugged as if to say that this was Bo's problem.
You're the one who's such a hand with the ladies.
Yeah, but my saddle's older than this one. Gals don't respond to my charms unless they got a mite more seasoning.
Well, you can help me help her up anyway.
They reached down and each of them took hold of an arm.
Come on, Senorita, we just want to talk to you. Let's go somewhere away from here to do it.
They lifted her to her feet, despite her struggles, and led her away from the bodies.
Why don't you start by telling us your name?
Why do you care? You have to know my name before you rip and kill me?
Oh, now, doggone it, why would we want to do a terrible thing like that?
You work for him. That is what his men do. They rape you women and kill everyone who opposes them. Men, women, and children alike. I may be a woman, but I can fight like a man. So you'd be better off if you just go ahead and kill me.
Nobody's gonna hurt you.
You were shooting at my friends. For all I know, it was your bullets that killed some of them.
You're right. but we didn't know what the situation was. And your amigos were shooting at us, too.
Have you been to San Ramon?
Where?
You mean the village in the valley outside Cutthroat Canyon?
Si. The village is called San Ramon.
We've been there.
Then how could you not know the sort of man Senor Davison is? Did you not see how the people of San Ramon cower in fear of their lives?
We saw, and we figured something was wrong. We just hadn't had a chance yet to talk to anybody and find out exactly what's going on around here.
And what difference would it have made if you had known? Would you not have continued to take Davison's money to terrorize my people?
Oh, we damn sure... Excuse me. I mean, we darn sure wouldn't. Fact of the matter is, man, we already figured something was wrong around here, and we were planning to get to the bottom of it when we got back from El Paso.
The young woman looked back and forth between them. Bo could see in her eyes that a part of her wanted to believe them, but she was too afraid, too embittered to embrace that hope. She couldn't bring herself to trust them. He reached down to his hip and palmed out his Colt. The young woman flinched when she saw what he was doing, but her look of fear changed to one of confusion when he flipped the gun around and extended it to her butt first.
I don't think you're going to believe us until you see for yourself that we're telling the truth. Take the gun. Do what you want with it. Nobody's going to stop you.
Scratch saw what Bo was doing. He had tucked the young woman's gun behind his belt, but he pulled his Remingtons, turned them around, and offered them to the young woman as well.
We are almighty sorry, Senorita. If we hurt any of your pards, it truly was because we didn't know for sure what's been going on around here. But I reckon we know now, and we want you to trust us when we tell you we aim to put a stop to it.
That is, if you're telling us the truth about Davidson.
Anger flared in the young woman's dark eyes. She snatched the Colt away from him and lifted it with both hands, earing back the hammer as she did so. Bo just looked at her unflinchingly as she pointed the revolver at him. She didn't pull the trigger. After a moment, she lowered the gun and let down the hammer again. Bo took his Colt out of her limp hands.
How did you know I would not kill you?
I figured you could tell we mean you no harm, and that we didn't know for sure Davidson was as bad as you've painted him.
If we'd known, you can bet a hat we never would have signed on to work for him.
So why don't you fill us in? You can start by telling us your name.
It is Teresa. Teresa Volquez.
All right, Senorita Volquez. It is Senorita, isn't it?
Si.
Why don't you go on back down off this mesa, Senorita, and then we'll talk in a little while. First, I reckon we got some burying to take care of.
Bo thought that Teresa Volquez might take off if they left her alone, but if she did, it would have to be on foot. The men who had fled had taken all the horses with them. Instead, Teresa found a tiny bit of shade at the base of the mesa and sat down to wait while Bo and Scratch dug graves and then brought the bodies down on the dun and the bay. They also used the horses to fetch the two corpses that lay out in the open near where the wagons had been stopped earlier. Digging graves in the stony ground was difficult, and the Texans weren't as young as they used to be. Both men were drenched with sweat by the time they were finished with the grim chore. The graves weren't quite as deep as Bo would have liked either, but there were plenty of rocks along the base of the mesa that could be piled up to make cairns over the holes in the ground.
I reckon we give up any thought of catching up to the wagons.
Yeah, considering what the girls told us already, I think that's true. I've heard enough to know that I don't want to work for Davison anymore.
What are we gonna do?
Well, find out just how bad things really are in that valley. Then we'll decide.
Now, from the sounds of it, those folks could use some help.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Jehová es mi pastor. Nada me faltará.
Teresa joined them beside the graves, making the sign of the cross and muttering prayers for the souls of the young men who had been killed there today.
Amen.
Then she and Bo and Scratch walked back over into the shade.
Start from the beginning and tell us everything you know about Davidson.
You mean when he came to San Ramon and murdered Don Hernando Alviso, who owned the mine in Cañon del Despiadado? Or when he forced the men of the village to abandon their crops and work in the mine instead? Or perhaps when he took the young women and forced them to degrade themselves with his men? These are the things you want to know about Senor Davison.
Good God. Looks like we were wrong about the fellow, Bo.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right. Senorita Volquez, is there a rifleman in the bell tower of the church in San Ramon?
Si. He keeps watch over the valley And anyone who tries to escape or to fight back against any of Davidson's men, the man in the tower can kill them with one shot. I have seen it happen.
That dirty son of a goon.
What about the holdups? Were you and your friends just after the gold?
We thought that if we made it impossible for Davidson to ship his gold to El Paso, he might abandon the mine and leave us alone. We should have known better. He just brought in even more hired killers.
We were told that his gold shipments were being robbed by bandits. You got to admit, that's the sort of thing that can happen down here.
Of course. But in this case, we were simply striking back at him the only way we could think of.
Were all of you from San Ramon?
Si. There were a dozen of us who managed to slip out one at a time. Now there are only a handful left alive.
What'd you do with the gold you took before?
It's hidden in the mountains. We thought that perhaps if we had enough, we could go to El Paso and hire some gunmen of our own. A foolish hope, I know. Anyone we could have found would have come down here and simply stolen the gold from us. Would have gone to work for Davidson instead. We cannot hope to stop him now.
Now, don't go getting ahead of yourself. How come you were riding with the men who escaped from the village?
You think a woman cannot fight?
I've lived long enough to learn a few things, including that most women can do anything they set their minds to. I was just curious how it came about.
I knew when Davidson took my sister Rosalinda to his house, I had to do something. If I had waited in the village, he would have just taken me and forced me into slavery sooner or later. The only way I could help Rosalinda was to escape and fight back against that evil man. Did you have been to the mine? Did you see a girl called Rosalinda?
We did. She works in the headquarters building as a servant. In fact, she served us supper last night.
How did she look? Is she all right?
Seemed to be. She looked like she hadn't been mistreated.
Oh, thanks to the Blessed Virgin. Perhaps I can save her yet. Aye, but how? My few remaining friends have fled, and I do not know if they still have the heart for fighting. What can I do alone against Davidson and all his gunmen?
Now that's just it, Señorita. You ain't alone anymore.
They couldn't leave Teresa out there alone and on foot in the middle of nowhere, so she climbed up onto the back of the dun with Bo and wrapped her arms around him as they started riding northward again.
How did you manage to live through the fight on that mesa?
There was a crevice in the rocks near the edge of the mesa. My friend Jose made me slide down in it before he and the others ambushed the wagons. He told me not to come out until he came for me. I could see some of what was going on from there. I saw the wagons stop, saw the fighting around them. Then I heard the horses coming up the trail and started to climb out. But I slipped and slid back down. When the shooting started on top of the mesa, I knew there was nothing I could do except wait and pray that Jose and the others would be all right. Then the shooting stopped and the horses went back down, and I knew that nothing would ever be all right again.
How come you jumped us?
By the time I heard your horses, I realized that I had nothing left to live for. I was determined to die fighting, striking whatever blow I could against Davison's men. So I climbed out of the crevice and came up behind you.
I'm mighty glad you didn't just start shooting without saying anything first. That gave us a chance to explain to you how things are with us.
I still do not know whether to believe you completely. I do not know if I can trust you. Perhaps you are taking me to El Paso to turn me over to the rest of Davidson's men.
Not hardly. Once you've known us a while longer, you'll see that we ain't like that.
Do you expect me to believe that you are honorable men? You sold your guns to Davidson. You must have done such things in the past, too.
Yeah, we're no angels. Wouldn't claim to be. We've lived rough lives and done some things we probably shouldn't have. We've even had the law after us a few times.
We ain't complete skunks. There are lines we don't plan on crossing, like helping Davidson mistreat any more folks.
In fact, we sort of plan on stopping him from doing it.
I believe you are telling the truth. But you are only two men. What can you do?
Well, I've been studying on that. Seems to me like what we got to do is find Skinner and Wallace and the others and try to mend our fences with them.
Madre de Dios! Then you have been lying to me!
Not at all. You're right when you say two men can't do much against Davidson and the rest of his bunch, if we go against them out in the open. But if we're working against him from inside...
I see what you're saying. We can do more good if Davidson thinks we're still working for him. Oh, that's a mighty sneaky bow.
I like it.
But you would be putting yourself in great danger if you did that. If Davidson found out that you were working against him, he would have you killed immediately. That is, if he did not decide to have you tortured to death to serve as an example to his other men of what will happen if they turn against him.
Don't worry about us. We've been in a few tight spots before. We don't plan on letting Davidson know what's going on.
Leastways not until we're darn good and ready.
Evening had fallen by the time they reached Juarez. Bo reined in and Scratch brought the bay to a halt beside Bo's dun.
You know anybody here in town where you can stay for a while?
I have been here before, but only twice. Nearly all my life has been spent in San Ramon. I don't know any Juarez.
We need a place to stash the señorita, don't we?
That's what I was thinking.
How about Luce's?
You reckon the place is still there?
Well, now it was the last time I heard. And I would have gotten around to checking to make certain if we hadn't gotten mixed up with Davidson instead.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have. All right, I reckon it's as good a place as any, and better than most. My apologies in advance, señorita. You're about to see some things that aren't entirely proper.
You forget what I and the others of San Ramon have lived through in the past 6 months, Señor Creel. I assure you, there is nothing more improper than what that monster Davison has done to my people.
You're probably right about that.
They rode through the streets of Juarez until they reached a good-sized adobe house with a red-tiled roof and a small courtyard behind a wrought-iron gate. Bo and Scratch brought their horses to a halt beside the gate, and Bo reached out to tug on a rope that rang a bell inside the house. A moment later, a massive, broad-shouldered man appeared at the gate, carrying a lantern.
Howdy, Pepe. Still at your post, I see.
Señor Scratch and Señor Bo, oh, it is good to see you again. Too many years have passed since you have honored us with a visit.
And yet you remember us.
Caramba! How could I forget after all the, excitement last time?
Huh? Now, that ruckus wasn't our fault. We weren't looking for trouble when we came here that night. It just sort of followed us.
See, it often does, I hear. What do you have there, Señor Bo? A present for Luz?
Not really. More like a guest.
Oh, this is not a hotel, Señor Bo.
I know, but if we can talk to Luz, I think she'll be willing to help us out.
After the last time, she told me not to let the two of you in again. But then, just a few months ago, she was saying something about missing you, so I think it'll be all right.
Yeah, well, Luz always was a mite sweet on me.
I would advise you not to let her hear you say that, Señor Scratch.
Pepe took a large key from his pocket and unlocked the gate. He swung it back to let them ride inside the courtyard. Bo glanced at the long shed on one side of the compound and saw that only a few horses waited there.
Not very busy tonight.
It is early yet. Many men are still drinking or gambling. Their thoughts will not turn to women until later in the evening.
Is this a house of ill repute?
You could say that.
Yeah, some folks feel that way. Me, I think its repute's just fine.
Come on, we'll introduce you to the lady who runs the place.
I will not be turned into a puta. If I wanted to do that, I could have stayed in San Ramon and let that bastard Gomez take me to the house he runs for Davison's men.
It's not like that at all. Like I told Pepe, if Luz is agreeable, you'll stay here as a guest, as a favor to us, not as one of her girls.
That is the only way I will stay. I mean that, Señor Creel.
I know you do. Believe me, I know you do.
Bo steered her along a flagstone walk bordered with flower beds. Pepe led the way, and Scratch brought up the rear. They went through a heavy, ornately carved wooden door and into a hallway lighted by candles and brass wall sconces that gleamed in the warm light. The corridor opened out into a large parlor with Navajo rugs on the floor and massive furniture. Brightly colored tapestries hung on the walls. Curtains, made of loosely woven strings of beads, hung over several arched doorways. On one of the divans, two young women half sat, half reclined. They wore silk wrappers that clung to their bodies and left little to the imagination. One was dark, mostly Indian, the other fair-skinned, with long, thick hair the color of honey. Both of them smiled at Bo and Scratch, then looked surprised and puzzled as they caught sight of Teresa. She was attractive and sensuous enough to fit right in at a place like this, but the mannish clothing she wore, along with the gun belt, made it clear that she was no soiled dove.
This is Magdalena and Helene. They were not with us the last time you were here.
Ladies, it is a pleasure to meet you.
I will get loose.
What is it?
Visitors out here you should greet, Luz.
Luz jerked the door open and stepped out, wearing a scowl on her face. Several inches shorter than Pepe, but almost as broad, Luz Flores looked mighty formidable.
What is this? I was working on the books, and you know I don't like to be interrupted. You two loco gringos! I thought I told Pepe never to let you in here again.
We forced him to bring us to you, Luz, so don't hold it against him.
Nobody could force that big bull to do something he didn't want to do. And why are you here? Who is this? You hope to appease my anger over what happened last time you were here by bringing me a new girl.
No, we're here because we need your help. This is Señorita Teresa Volquez from the village of San Ramon.
I have heard of this place. It is down in the foothills at the edge of the mountains.
That's right, near a place called Canyon del Despiadado.
Cutthroat Canyon. I have heard of it as well. Why is she dressed like a man? And toting iron, as you gringos would put it.
Because there's been a lot of trouble down there. A lot of trouble. Señorita Volquez has been trying to put a stop to it. Scratch and I are going to help her, but we need a place for her to stay for a while. A safe place. We thought of you.
Now, actually, I'm the one who suggested it, because I'll never forget the other times I was here, Luz, nor that time when you and I had
enough! Why would I wish to do the two of you any sort of favor? You come in here. You shoot up my place. You upset my girls.
That shooting wasn't our fault. We didn't know those fellas who had a grudge against us had followed us here. Anyway, everybody in Juarez knows that such things aren't allowed in Luz's place. They were to blame for the ruckus, not us.
Oh, I have a feeling you make that claim quite often, Señor Bo.
If she doesn't want to help us, let's go. I don't want to stay here anyway.
You think we are not good enough for your presence?
Now that ain't what she said.
Listen, we'll tell you all about it as soon as we know that Señorita Volquez is safe. There are some men in El Paso who might try to kill her if they knew the whole story.
Then why don't you tell it to us, Creel? And don't reach for those guns, because we got you covered, damn it.
You know, I don't know about you, Bo, but I'm getting sort of tired of folks sneaking up behind us and pointing guns at us.
Yeah, it gets old in a hurry.
Turning slowly and keeping their hands in plain sight, they saw Jackman standing just behind one of the beaded curtains. The barrel of his revolver stuck out between two strands of beads. Trag was with him, no surprise there, standing just behind and to one side of Jackman. He had his gun drawn as well.
Good to see you, boys. I was hoping we'd catch up to you in El Paso, but I didn't figure it would be in Juarez.
You can forget about those buffalo chips you're trying to sell us. We heard what you said. That gal was in with the bandits, and you've gone over to her side now. I didn't expect a double cross like that from somebody who looks as much like a preacher as you do. Why'd you decide to betray Davidson, Creel? Because of the girl or the gold?
I don't consider it a double cross when Davidson didn't tell us the truth to start with. If you want to hear about it, we can tell you what's really going on down there.
Sure. That's what I said before. You go ahead and tell us.
Davidson killed the legal owner of that mine, a Mexican named Don Hernando Alviso. He's been murdering anybody who stands up to him and ruling the others through fear. I'm pretty sure he murdered one of the miners who got in an argument with a foreman the day we reached Cutthroat Canyon. We all heard the shot.
Well, he said he killed a rattlesnake.
A lie. We heard about what happened. One of the men Davidson forces to work in the mine asked for compassion for an old man who had collapsed and could no longer work. The foreman kicked the old man, and the one who had begged for mercy lost his temper and struck the foreman. Some of the guards grabbed him and held him until Davidson got there and shot him in the head.
We weren't there to see it happen. All we got is a word of some greaser slut. I'll trust the word of the man who puts money in my pocket.
Yeah, damn right!
Go on, Creel. We're still listening.
Davidson's posted a sharpshooter in the bell tower of the church in San Ramon. The fella has a high-powered rifle and a pair of field glasses. He guards the passes in and out of the valley and acts as another of Davidson's enforcers if any of the people there get out of line.
Well, a man's got a right to protect his property and the folks who work for him.
Ain't you been listening? Davidson's forcing those folks to work for him. And it's not just the men who dig the gold out of that mine, neither. He's got himself his own private whorehouse, too, and the gals from the village have to work in it.
I wouldn't act so high and mighty if I was you, Morton. You're standing in the middle of a whorehouse your own self right now. And from the sound of the conversation that was going on when we came up the hall, you're pretty friendly with that fat madam, too.
If I had known what cabrones you are, I would have had Pepe throw you out on your ears as soon as you got here.
Oh, shut up, Mamacita. You were quick enough to take her money, and glad to get it.
One of Luz's pudgy hands came up and delved into the deep valley between her huge breasts, which hung halfway out of her low-cut blouse. When she brought her hand out, she flicked her wrist and sent coins spinning through the air at Jackman and Trag.
There! Take your filthy dinero back!
Shit, you bitch! Oh.
What he was going to do remained unknown, because Magdalena and Helen lunged to their feet at the same time and they each plunged a knife into Trag's back. Trag stumbled forward. At the same time, Bo and Scratch slapped leather. Jackman was dead before he hit the floor.
Damn it! It always winds up smelling like gunpowder in here when you two show up.
We're mighty sorry about that. What about Trag?
Keeping Trag covered with both Remingtons, Scratch hooked a boot toe under his shoulder and rolled him onto his side, then let him flop on his face again.
Dead. Where the hell did you gals come up with them pig stickers anyway?
It's probably better that you don't know, Mr. Morton. Trade secrets and all that.
Oh, yeah, sure. I reckon you're right.
We would not have killed that man if he had not threatened Luz. We could not let him shoot her.
That's all right, ladies. I reckon we would have had to kill them both sooner or later anyway.
Yeah, they weren't going to turn on Davidson. They would have sold us out to him if they'd got a chance.
Pepe, hold this carne muerta out of here. Go back to your customers. The trouble is over.
If they got any customers left. When them shots went off, I'll bet most of the hombres in here crawled out the nearest window and lit out for the tall and uncut.
More than likely.
Pepe dragged the bodies of Jackman and Trag out of the room, leaving smears of blood on the floor. Bo and Scratch didn't know how Luz's bodyguard would dispose of the corpses, and neither of them particularly wanted to know.
Come into my office and bring the girl with you.
The madam sat down behind a desk on which a ledger book lay open. There was only one other chair in the room.
Have a seat, senorita. Oh, do not worry, little one. Nothing improper has ever taken place in that chair, although one cannot say that about very many places in this house. You want to leave this one here with me, you said.
That's right. As long as you understand it, you can't try to put her to work.
Food and a place to sleep cost money.
We'll pay for a keep.
I would never force a girl to work for me. I am not like this man Davidson you spoke of. He sounds like a vile creature.
He is. That is why we must defeat him.
What are you going to do?
Davidson thinks that we're working for him. Scratch and I figured to join up again with the other men who came here with those wagons of ore and head back to the valley to see what we can do from inside Davidson's camp.
Wagons of ore? You must tell me about this. Start from the beginning.
Bo did so, going back to the night they had met Porter Davidson in August Strittmeyer's Birdcage Saloon, and then saved his life during the ruckus with little Ed Churchill and the rancher's men.
I reckon if we'd known then what we know now, we might have let little Ed ventilate the son of a bitch.
Too late for that.
Bo resumed the tale, sketching in what they had discovered in Cutthroat Canyon and the adjacent valley, as well as the events of the trip to El Paso with the gold wagons and the attempted holdup that afternoon that had backfired on Teresa and her companions.
Poor little one. You are all alone now. Your amigos are either dead or have abandoned the fight.
She's not alone. We're on her side now. And I hope you are, too.
I have no stake in what goes on down in that valley. I am a businesswoman, as you well know, Señor Bo.
Don Elviso had no family. The mine rightfully belongs to the people of San Ramon now. If you help us, a share of it could be yours.
You have no power to make such an arrangement. This man, Davidson, still holds the mine. And until it is otherwise, Anyway, I deal in what is, not what might be. Cash, in other words.
All we want is a safe place to leave Señorita Volquez. Scratch and I can come up with enough money to pay you for that.
And for cleaning the blood off my parlor floor. And for getting the stink out of the air.
Name your price.
$500.
Now that's a heap of dinero.
We don't have anywhere near that much. Might be able to get it, though.
You have until tomorrow. For tonight, I will keep the girl here and personally guarantee her safety. This much I will do out of the goodness of my heart. But no more.
We'll see you tomorrow, then. Right now, there's one other thing you can do for us that won't cost you anything.
What is that?
I'd like to talk to the girls who were with Jackman and Trey.
The two men you killed. I think I can do that. Wait here.
Why are you doing this for me? You never even knew I existed until earlier today.
I reckon we knew Davidson wasn't telling us the truth, though. Even if we didn't have the proof yet.
And we don't take kindly to being lied to, and we don't cotton to hombres who try to take advantage of other folks, neither. And I'd say Davidson qualifies in spades.
I guess you could say that we're just natural-born meddlers.
At first, I did not want to believe you. But now I see that you are telling the truth. You want to help because it is the right thing to do. You are like the knights in the old stories.
Oh, Lord, now don't go calling us knights. If we were, our armor would be so tarnished by now. Shoot, we just can't go too long without getting in some sort of scrap. We'd get bored otherwise.
Say what you will. Now I know the truth.
Luz came back to the office a moment later with two of the young women who worked for her. One Mexican, one Chinese. The Chinese girl didn't seem to speak any English or Spanish, so Bo hoped that the other whore could tell them what they needed to know.
Did you have a drink or anything with those two hombres before you took them back to your rooms?
See? They passed a bottle of tequila back and forth and drank half of it.
Did they say anything about the men they came with to El Paso? Were they supposed to meet the others anywhere in particular?
I am not sure. They talked and laughed a lot, but I did not pay too much attention. Men prattle all the time. Most of it means nothing.
Try to remember. I may have money writing on this.
I think they said something about a place called Encinal's. That was it.
Encinal's is a cafe across the river in El Paso. Davidson's men must be planning to get together there in the morning before they start back to the mine.
Yeah, that makes sense. They got to El Paso all right. Wallace and the other fellows with the wagons delivered the ore wherever it was supposed to go. And the rest of the bunch split up to have themselves a good time tonight. That's gotta be the way it is.
So we can catch up to them at Encinal's first thing in the morning, I reckon.
And my money?
That gives us tonight to lay our hands on it.
You are sure you would not want to lay something else?
Some other time. I don't reckon we can afford it tonight.
Coming up with the $500 to pay Luz for looking after Teresa was surprisingly easy. Bo had figured that an all-night poker game and a lot of luck would be required, but all it took was a visit to the birdcage.
Herr Creel, Herr Morton. I did not expect to see you two fellows again so soon. Didn't you leave town with Herr Davidson just a few days ago?
We did. We're back. You haven't happened to see Jim Skinner in here tonight, have you?
That one. I don't want him in here. He's nothing but trouble. I heard a while back that he was in El Paso, but I have not seen him.
You know a big Swede named Hansen, or a Britisher called Lancaster?
Nein.
A baby-faced kid with killer's eyes? He goes by Douglas, but I don't know if that's his first name or his last.
Oh, now him I've heard of, but he has not been in here. You're looking for these men because there's trouble between you and them? The bullet holes in my walls are just now patched.
Don't worry, August. We won't be starting any trouble. We got some business to discuss with these hombres, that's all.
I would not do business with Jim Skinner. That man is no good.
You won't get any argument from us on that score.
Have you got a high-stakes game going on tonight, August? Scratch and I need to come up with some money as quickly as we can.
How much do you need?
$500.
Come with me. I will let you have the cash.
We couldn't take your money like that, August.
Then consider it a loan. I will even charge you interest, yeah?
Why would you want to help us out that way? I mean, it ain't like we're old pards or anything.
Of course we are friends. Little Ed Churchill came in here and caused trouble every time he visited El Paso from his ranch. His men were just as bad. Now he is no longer a problem.
So what you're talking about is blood money.
Nein. You were friends as well with Three-Toed Johnny. That is the main reason I wish to help you. And I know your reputation. The law may consider you scoundrels, but if you say you will pay back the money, I know it is true.
Yeah, unless we go off and get ourselves killed first.
That is a gamble I am willing to take. Come with me to my office. I give you the money.
You don't even want to know what it's for?
Does it matter?
Well, I reckon not.
Strittmeyer opened a bulky safe in his office, using his body to shield the combination from view as he spun the dial. He took a wad of cash from the safe and counted out $500 onto the desk. Then, after a second's hesitation, he added another $100 to it. Bo picked up the money, folded it, and stuck it in a pocket inside his black frock coat.
In case you need some for anything else.
We could use some more supplies, I reckon. We're much obliged to you, August.
De nada, as our friends across the border say. What else can I do for you?
Well, we ain't had any supper yet.
Oh, that can also be remedied. Come with me. I take you to the best German restaurant in El Paso.
I only know of one German restaurant in El Paso.
And that is why it is the best.
Figuring that Davidson's men would want to get an early start, Bo and Scratch were at the Encinal's Cafe before dawn the next morning. Strittmeyer had let them borrow a spare room at the Birdcage, and they had slept soundly, full of beer and bratwurst and potatoes. Bo recognized some of the other horses tied at the hitch rack in front of Encinal's as they walked up, and so did Scratch. Skinner and the others were here.
I'll go back to the livery stable and get our horses, too.
All right. I'll go inside and talk to them.
And don't you reckon it'd be better if you waited until I got back so we can brace them together?
I don't think anybody's gonna slap leather in the middle of breakfast.
Yeah, well, you better be right about that, because if you ain't, you're liable to get some hot lead with your coffee.
Scratch headed for the livery stable where they had left the dun and the bay, while Bo stepped up onto the boardwalk in front of the cafe. As soon as Bo went inside, he spotted Lancaster, Hanson, and Douglas at one of the tables. Skinner was alone at another table, brooding over a cup of coffee as he sat with his back to the wall so that an enemy couldn't come up behind him. Encinal's was a fairly popular eatery, and despite the early hour, several other customers sat at the tables with their blue-checked tablecloths, as well as at the counter, behind which the menu was chalked on a board.
What the hell you doing here, Creel? You don't work for Davidson no more.
Everybody's got to be somewhere. I reckon it's free country. Anyway, it's up to Davidson whether or not I'm still working for him, not you.
You run out on us. You rode up on that at Mesa because you were more worried about a bunch of damn greaser banditos than you were about doing your job.
Bo pulled back a chair and sat down without asking, across the table from Skinner.
I'll admit, I don't much cotton to killing kids, but those hombres who ambushed the wagons called the tune, they had to dance to it. And as for running out on the rest of you, that never happened. We were behind you all the way to El Paso. We just hung back far enough so that you wouldn't spot us.
Why would you do that, old boy?
If you couldn't see us, then we figured those bandits couldn't either if they doubled back and tried to hit the wagons again. If we'd heard any shooting, though, you would have seen us in a hurry.
I thought I heard a shot back there behind us a little while after we passed that mesa. You know anything about that?
Yeah, I fired it. Wanted to scare off the damn buzzards. They're already starting to work on those corpses when Scratch and I rode up.
Oh, let me guess. You and Morton buried all those poor dead Mexicans.
We thought about it. But in the end, we decided it was too hot and too much work.
So the Zopilates got them anyway.
So, you followed us to El Paso after all.
That's right. I figured we were doing our job, too. Hell, the gold got here all right, didn't it? Are you supposed to meet Wallace and the others here, too?
No, we'll rendezvous with them at the wagon yard. How did you know that you could find us here, Creel?
We didn't. That was pure dumb luck. Scratch and I like to eat here when we're in El Paso. We figured we'd have some breakfast and then scat around for you fellas. Just happened to work out the other way around.
Where is Morton, anyway?
When we saw your horses tied up outside, he went back up the street to fetch our mounts. Might as well all head back to the valley together.
Still don't think Davis is gonna want you working for him.
Then he can tell us that himself.
Suit yourself. If it was me, though, I'd skin your hides.
Good thing it's not you who's in charge, then.
Skinner bristled a little at that, but didn't make an issue of it. He picked up his coffee cup and pointedly carried it to a table that was even farther away, where he sat down and proceeded to ignore the others. Bo ordered breakfast for himself and Scratch from a busy, white-aproned waiter who finally made it over to the table. While he was waiting for the food, he turned to the others.
Where are Jackman and Trag? Were they supposed to meet you here, too?
No, we haven't seen them. I'm worried that they're lying somewhere in some squalid surroundings, having drunk and debauched themselves into oblivion.
I reckon there's plenty of places in El Paso and Juarez where they could have done just that. What if they don't show up by the time you're ready to leave?
I suppose we'll go without them. They knew what the plan was. It's their responsibility to be back in time. Perhaps they can catch up to us later if they wish to.
Scratch came into the cafe a minute later and looked around until he spotted Bo and the others.
Howdy, boys. Reckon Bo's already told you about how we followed y'all on into town.
I did. We've been welcomed back into the fold.